I have a question. Questions of general interest answered for guidance, not as official statements of church policy. Question. Why do we hold fast and testimony meeting on the first Sunday of the month? The answer by Glenn M. Leonard, president of the Farmington, Utah Stake and director of the Museum of Church History and Art. For half a century, beginning in the 1830s, fast and testimony meetings convened on Thursday, following a practice approved by the prophet Joseph Smith. No written directive or explanation can be found that explains why that day of the week came to be used. In Latter-day Revelation, the Lord commands the saints to continue in prayer and fasting, Doctrine and Covenants, section 88, verse 76. Revelation to the prophet Joseph Smith linked prayer and fasting in two contexts, one with Sabbath observance and the other with anticipated worship in the Kirtland Temple. See Doctrine and Covenants, section 59, verses 9 through 14, section 88, verse 76, and verse 119. In combining prayer and fasting, the Lord restored a practice enjoyed by faithful people in earlier dispensations. References to fasting in the Old Testament, New Testament, and Book of Mormon emphasize the purposes of fasting, drawing closer to the Lord and seeking special blessings from Him through prayer. See Esther chapter 4, verse 16, Isaiah chapter 58, verses 3 through 7, Alma chapter 5, verse 46, and 3rd Nephi chapter 27, verse 1. In 1985, Elder Howard W. Hunter, then of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, noted that the formal observance of regular public and private fasts was not established until after the children of Israel left Egypt. See Ensign, November 1985, page 72. During Zechariah's reign in Israel, the people observed specific monthly fasts. By the time the Savior began his ministry, many pious Jews were fasting 2 days a week. Of greater importance to the Savior than specific times and places was his admonition that fasting be observed in a spirit of sincerity. See Matthew chapter 6, verse 16. Many Christian denominations observe fasts, including observances tied to specific days. Fasting is also observed by peoples in other religions outside Judaism and Christianity. The prophet Joseph Smith taught the importance of fasting as a means of preparing oneself to approach Heavenly Father in prayer in times of special need. See Joseph Smith, The Words of Joseph Smith, pages 37, 109, and 255. However, a regular fast observance in the restored church emerged gradually. For a year following the dedication of the Kirtland Temple, prayer meetings were held in the temple each Thursday under the direction of the prophet's father, Joseph Smith Sr. Once a month, one of those prayer meetings was designated as fast meeting. In these meetings, members prayed for the sick and spoke of their deepest spiritual feelings. At some of these gatherings, the gifts of prophecy and speaking in tongues were manifest. See Andrew Jensen, The Historical Record, June 1886, pages 79 and 80. Kenneth W. Godfrey, Audrey M. Godfrey, and Jill Mulvey Dare, Women's Voices, An Untold History of the Latter-day Saints, pages 60 and 61. Elsewhere in Ohio in the 1830s, fast meetings were held on other days of the week as needed. For example, in Columbiana County in eastern Ohio, members gathered in October 1837 for a Monday morning fast meeting following a weekend conference. See Elder's Journal, October 1837, page 15. Later that month, members met in a Saturday fast meeting. See Elder's Journal, November 1837, page 31. Special fast meetings convened at other times during the early years of the church. While Joseph and Hiram Smith were in Liberty Jail, their father called a prayer and fast meeting that began at sunrise and continued until late afternoon to ask the Lord to bless them and enable them to bear the cruelties that they had to suffer and pass through. Autobiography of John Lowe Butler, page 16. As the saints moved from Ohio to Missouri and then into Illinois, fast meetings continued on an occasional basis in response to specific needs. See History of the Church, Volume 4, page 389, Volume 5, page 252, and Volume 7, page 264. In May 1845, the Quorum of the 12 Apostles re-emphasized the need to fast regularly and to donate to the bishop for the care of the poor. See History of the Church, Volume 7, page 264, and page 413. From then until the mobbings of September 1845, monthly fast meetings were held in Nauvoo on the second Thursday of the month during the early part of the afternoon. See Diary of Hosea Stout, Volume 1, pages 43, 47, 51, and 57. The Exodus West interrupted the practice of regular fast meetings, but specific needs prompted designated fasts from time to time. During the drought of 1855 and 56 in Pioneer, Utah, President Brigham Young established a regular fast to help ease the suffering caused by hard times. He designated the first Thursday of each month for the observance. The food thus saved was distributed among the poor. Averting calamity resulting from food shortages due to drought, severe winters, grasshopper infestation, the influx of LDS immigrants, and the large numbers of California-bound gold seekers in need of supplies. See B.H. Roberts, A Comprehensive History of the Church, Volume 4, pages 109 and 110. From time to time during his presidency, President Young reiterated the importance of Fast Day as a means of supporting the poor through donations. He also reminded the saints that Joseph Smith had established the first Thursday of the month as fast day in Kirtland. All that was to be eaten that day, of flour, of meat, or butter, or fruit, or anything else, was to be carried to the fast meeting and put into the hands of a person selected for the purpose of taking care of it and distributing it among the poor. Discourses of Brigham Young, page 169. Toward the end of the century, economic changes in the working world made it difficult to attend a daytime Thursday fast meeting. In 1896, Hiram M. Smith, then a missionary in England, wrote to his father, President Joseph F. Smith, then second counselor in the First Presidency, about the difficulty members faced getting excused from their jobs to attend Thursday fast meetings. Workers had no paid leave, and when these came from the pits, they had to go home, bathe, and change their clothes. See Joseph Fielding Smith, Prayer and Fasting, Improvement Era, December 1956, page 895. He asked if Sunday would be a more appropriate day. The First Presidency and Quorum of the Twelve prayerfully discussed the question and felt guided to change fast meeting to the first Sunday of each month. In announcing the change, President Wilford Woodruff and his counselors said they recognized the need to make the meeting more accessible to all members throughout the world. The change became effective on December 6th, 1896. Activities that had become part of the fast meeting continued: administering the sacrament, bearing testimonies, blessing children, confirming new members, and relieving the needs of the poor and ill. See James R. Clark, Compilation Messages of the First Presidency of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, Volume 3, pages 281 through 284. Another change taking place in the 1890s in Utah was the transition from a barter economy to a cash economy. As the saints began to pay their tithes and offerings, mostly in cash, the deacons were assigned to call monthly on the homes to collect the fast offerings. Members were no longer expected to bring their offerings to the fast and testimony meeting. Ensign, November 1974, page 15. The First Presidency, along with local church leaders, began to call other fasts as needed. For example, church leaders called special days of fasting and prayer to raise funds to help complete the Salt Lake Temple. See the Salt Lake Temple, Contributor, April 1893, pages 280 and 281. On the 23rd of December, 1889, church members observed the 84th anniversary of the Prophet Joseph Smith's birth, with fasting and prayer aimed at softening opposition toward the church. See Comprehensive History of the Church, Volume 6, pages 218 and 219. In the Salt Lake Temple, in 1899, President Lorenzo Snow introduced a new emphasis on tithing during a special fast meeting and solemn assembly of the priesthood of the church. See Comprehensive History of the Church, Volume 6, pages 358 through 360. Several fasts in this century have supported humanitarian efforts. During a fast in January 1921, the saints contributed toward helping millions of hungry children in Europe and Asia. See Messages of the First Presidency, Volume 5, pages 171, 188, and 189. Similar fasts were held following World War II. In 1985, two special fasts were held for hunger relief and community development in Africa, South America, and other areas. See Daniel H. Ludlow, editor, Encyclopedia of Mormonism, 5 volumes, page 502. While the time and method of observing the fast and of making fast offerings have changed, the eternal principle has remained intact: to continue in prayer and fasting as a way to draw close to the Lord and to seek His blessings for those in need as well as for ourselves. Gospel topics: fasting, prayer. End of I Have a Question.